Coming up on the show today, hundreds dead in Gaza hospital airstrike.
Palestinian officials are blaming Israel for the attack and say hundreds of people have been killed. Israel blames the Islamic Jihad group, saying one of its outbound rockets from Gaza misfired and hit the hospital.
Plus, following the Gaza hospital blast, U.S. President Joe Biden's trip to the Middle East got a lot more difficult.
Our Jordanian brothers said that we cannot have a summit with these conditions.
And later, as Israel is facing off against Hamas in the south, another battle is looming in the north. We'll take a look at Hezbollah's latest activity in Lebanon. Today is Wednesday, October 18th, and this is VOA's International Edition. From VOA headquarters in Washington, I'm Steve Karish. In a few minutes, we'll meet some Palestinian men who were trapped in Israel when hostilities started, unable to get back home to Gaza past the Israeli blockade. We begin today, though, with the latest from Gaza and the horrific news of a hospital hit by an apparent airstrike. More from VOA's chief national correspondent, Steve Herman, in Washington.
U.S. officials say they do not have any confirmation about who is responsible for the airstrike on a hospital in Gaza filled with patients and those trying to shelter from Israeli retaliatory attacks on Hamas. Palestinian officials are blaming Israel for the attack and say hundreds of people have been killed. Israel blames the Islamic Jihad group, saying one of its outbound rockets from Gaza misfired and hit the hospital. At the Pentagon on Tuesday, spokesperson Sabrina Singh, responding to reporters, said the top brass there has repeatedly reiterated to their Israeli counterparts they expect the rule of war to be upheld and that civilians will not be targeted.
We are in constant communication with the Israelis. We are. We have seen them, I think, be very deliberate about where they are striking, continuing to target Hamas locations and away from civilians.
Singh added, no preconditions have been placed by the Pentagon on U.S. military aid to Israel, which is waging war on Hamas in Gaza. The Palestinian group, considered a terrorist organization by the United States and other countries, carried out an attack in Israel, killing hundreds of civilians and abducting about 200 people. Steve Herman, VOA News, Washington.
President Biden will be in the Middle East on Wednesday, his trip having been upended even before he left Washington. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Meghani reports that the blast at the Gaza hospital has caused an important summit meeting to be canceled.
President Biden's trip to the Middle East has already faced a bloody setback after an explosion at a Gaza hospital killed hundreds. Aiming to tamp down tensions in the growing war between Israel and Hamas, the president will first go to Israel and then Jordan, where he was to meet with, among others, Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas. But a Palestinian official says Abbas has canceled in protest of the hospital blast. Hamas is blaming it on an Israeli airstrike, while Israel says it was not involved and blames it on a Palestinian rocket. It all adds up to a volatile situation that'll test the limits of U.S. influence in the region, even as the president heavily invests himself in another big foreign conflict with no clear endgame. Sagar Meghani, Washington.
President Biden heads to Tel Aviv to show solidarity with Israel, to secure the safe passage of Americans trapped in Gaza, and ease the plight of Palestinians under Israeli siege since the brazen attack by the militant group Hamas on October 7th. The trip, though, is overshadowed by Tuesday night's attack on a hospital in Gaza, which led to the cancellation of Biden's summit with regional leaders. White House Bureau Chief Patsy Wiedekuswara has the story.
Hundreds were killed in an explosion Tuesday at Ahli Arab Hospital in Gaza City. Palestinian authorities blamed an Israeli airstrike, while Israel said it was a rocket from the militant group Islamic Jihad that misfired. That group denied responsibility. The attack happened hours before President Joe Biden departed for Tel Aviv to meet Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to show U.S. commitment to Israel's security and push for humanitarian aid for Gazans, following days of shuttle diplomacy by Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
It is critical that aid begin flowing into Gaza as soon as possible.
Biden was scheduled to continue to Amman, Jordan, but after the Gaza hospital attack, that part of the trip was canceled. He will not be meeting leaders of neighboring countries, King Abdullah of Jordan and President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi of Egypt, or Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, who returned to Ramallah, where thousands of Palestinians protested the hospital attack. Palestinian envoy to the UN, Riyad Mansour.
Our Jordanian brothers said that we cannot have a summit with these conditions. We don't know what the other President Biden is still going there or not. The only thing that would make sense if he made ceasefire immediately, and I'm coming to force the implementation of ceasefire.
Since the militant group Hamas launched its brazen incursion on October 7th, Israel has launched strikes on Gaza, in one case killing 6 people at a United Nations school where 4,000 Palestinians had taken refuge, the UN said. 2 million Gazans are under siege. President of the European Council, Charles Michel.
A total siege when you cut the basic infrastructure, when you cut access to water, when you cut electricity, if you don't allow food to be delivered, this is not in line with the international law.
2 U.S. carrier strike groups have been deployed to show support for Israel and deter other actors in the region. Jonathan Lord is a senior fellow at the Center for New American Security.
This is a massive amount of force, and it affords President Biden many options to respond should Hezbollah or other proxies of Iran decide to opportunistically either attack U.S. forces or to attack Israel.
In Tel Aviv, Biden will ask Israel how it plans to minimize civilian casualties. He will push for a humanitarian corridor to allow aid into Gaza and for the release of hostages held by Hamas. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
When the Israel-Hamas war began more than a week ago, the only entrance to Gaza was destroyed, and Palestinian workers in Israel couldn't get home. Now, thousands of men are trapped on the outside, while their parents, siblings, wives, and children try to survive the bombings in Gaza. VOA's Heather Murdoch reports from Ramallah in the West Bank.
In this municipal building in Ramallah, a city in the occupied West Bank, hundreds of men spend their days despairing as the war between Israel and Hamas takes an increasing toll on civilians in Gaza. Many say they would rather risk death and go home than hear about their family's suffering on the phone or by text message. Saleh Hassan has a wife and 3 teenage daughters, all trapped inside Gaza. He says his family was living a normal life with dreams and hopes for the future. His daughter was in university studying English and wanted to graduate, but now their hopes are shattered and their lives are destroyed. Gaza is home to 2 million people, and the only border crossing that was open before the war was destroyed on the first day of fighting when Hamas conducted a massive surprise attack. Since then, Israel has conducted a near-constant bombing campaign on Gaza. Families have been told to evacuate some areas of Gaza, which is roughly 40 kilometers long and 10 kilometers wide, but there is no way to escape. But Hassan says his family wouldn't go, even if they could. His wife, he says, tells him they want to stay in their home until they are hit by bombs and die. Aid workers say they are providing food and housing for the men, who are among thousands of workers from Gaza whose Israeli work permits were revoked after the start of the war. Isra Ghanem is a volunteer who helps provide food and support for the displaced men. She says up to 800 men stay in the building, and they try to provide support while the men hear stories of death and destruction from their families by phone. But supplies are already running low, she says, and there is limited support coming in. Israel has vowed to utterly defeat Hamas in this war, and Hamas has declared it has a plan to defend itself. Many men here say they have given up hope for a happy outcome and believe that they may never see their families again. Heather Murdoch, VOA News, Ramallah, West Bank.
And here are some other stories we're following from around the world. Still no Speaker of the House. Despite efforts to consolidate Republican support, Hardline conservative representative Jim Jordan has fallen short of the majority needed to become speaker. Jordan received 200 votes but needs 217. The lower house of the Russian parliament on Tuesday gave preliminary approval to a bill revoking ratification of a global nuclear test ban in what Moscow has described as a move to put itself on par with the United States, which has signed but not ratified the nuclear test ban treaty. All 31 U.S.-made M1A1 Abrams tanks promised to Kyiv by the Biden administration have arrived in Ukraine. This, according to U.S. military Colonel Martin O'Donnell, a spokesman for the U.S. Army Europe and Africa. He told VOA that all of the Ukrainians who trained on the tanks with U.S. forces in Germany have also returned to Ukraine, along with ammunition and spare parts. Ukraine has also acknowledged using U.S.-provided long-range ATACMS missiles. Also on Tuesday, India's Supreme Court rejected a plea to legalize same-sex marriage, saying that it was up to the parliament to legislate the issue. However, it said the LGBTQ community must be protected from discrimination. In another possible front line in the Israel-Hamas conflict, tensions are also rising on Israel's northern border. We'll have that story in a few minutes. Now, though, the Israel Defense Forces, or IDF, is balancing the targeting of Hamas militants in Gaza and protecting civilians there. In an interview recorded before the strike on the hospital, Payam Yazdian of VOA's Persian service speaks with Ari Sharuz Shalikar, spokesperson for the IDF.
At this stage, we are concentrating on the situation vis-a-vis Hamas and Islamic Jihad in the Gaza Strip. We have called in troops, many different troops, different units, to make sure that we are prepared for any development for our next stage and next part of the plan. We have started already around 11 days. But we don't rush it. As you can see, we are today on the 11th day. We don't rush it. And the reason for it is first and foremost, because there are many civilians living in this densely populated area in the narrow Gaza Strip. And we are aware that Hamas is using them as human shields, since inside the Gaza Strip, there's not one military base. All these around 6,500 rockets Hamas has shot, launched on Israel throughout the last 11 days, not one of them was launched from a military base. All of them were launched from civilian objects where people live, where people pray, and where people are being treated. So that's the situation we face. We are aware of it, and we want to make sure that this time Hamas, not only because of the rocket fire, but also because of that situation of October 7, where they have entered Israel with about 2,000 terrorists and have butchered even children and babies, and have abducted around 200 Israelis, amongst them many girls, young girls, children, and even babies. We want to make sure that this time we don't let it go. They won't rule the Gaza Strip after this war is over.
Can you comment on whether Hamas has been able to maintain their military strength throughout the conflict?
Well, Hamas and Islamic Jihad, especially Hamas, who the organization has taken power of the Gaza Strip in 2007, which is 17 years ago. The only thing they have done in these 17 years is to develop all kind of terror infrastructure inside this narrow Gaza Strip. What I'm talking about is especially digging tunnels, hundreds and thousands of terror tunnels, then all kind of rocket development, drone development, weapon depots, all kind of stuff which has only, absolutely only to do with terror. They haven't invested $1 into the people and the well-being of the people of the Gaza Strip. And we are aware of this. So we know that Hamas has been working on kind of changing the face of the Gaza Strip into a terror hub, which is controlled by Hamas, especially Gaza City in the northern part, from where their headquarters, if you want to, is located, from where most of the operations take part. We know that they have been working on this for many, many years. And what they did on October 7, you could call it, is maybe kind of a climax of all their efforts throughout the last 17 years. And that's why we are determined this time to definitely finish this situation and destroy Hamas.
That was IDF spokesperson Ari Sharuz Shalikar speaking with VOA's Payam Yazdian. From Washington, it's VOA's International Edition. I'm Steve Karish. Tensions have been rising on the Lebanese-Israeli border since Israel began military action against Hamas in the Gaza Strip. The Lebanese militant political group Hezbollah has warned that an Israeli ground invasion of Gaza would bring them into the conflict as well. It's a promise that would inevitably drag Lebanon into a costly and especially complicated war. Jacob Russell has this report from Beirut.
As Israel appears to be preparing for an invasion of the Gaza Strip, the Lebanese militant political group Hezbollah has said that this would provoke their entry into the war. The border between Israel and Lebanon has been tense for years, with Israeli defense forces and Hezbollah periodically exchanging fire. Until now, both sides have respected rules of engagement designed to avoid triggering a full-scale war. But already in the first few days of the Israel-Hamas conflict, the violence along Lebanon's border with Israel has escalated considerably, causing casualties on both sides of the border. Mohamed Haj Ali is Deputy Director of Research at the Carnegie Middle East Center.
Compared to the previous rules of engagements and the attacks that happened in the past 2 days were an escalation of what we've had in the past. And I think what comes next is also going to be, within the same frame, and a kind of an upgrade in terms of violence that we've previously seen. But the question is, are both sides interested in keeping it within this confined space?
Inside Lebanon, Hezbollah enjoys support from those who see it as defending a just cause. Among them is Ahmed, whose full name is withheld.
It's not okay to restrain, to hurt Palestinian people, children, and civilians. It should be military against military.
However, many also remember the last time the two sides went to war in 2006 and do not want to be dragged into another one. Tony, a barber, was asked if he fears another confrontation with Lebanon's southern neighbors.
Of course we're afraid. It will destroy our homes. It will destroy our country. We've had enough. We don't want it.
The likely destruction that Lebanon would experience in another war with Israel would have serious consequences for the country's fragile internal order, says the Carnegie Middle East Center's Mohamed Haj Ali.
If there's a massive Israeli bombing campaign out of 2006, leading to a great destruction within Lebanon, that would reshuffle the cards internally.
Hezbollah appears to have little interest in assuaging the concerns of other Lebanese. Speaking anonymously, a senior commander recently told VOA News that the party has units in Beirut at full readiness to defend its supporters from other Lebanese factions. He said, quote, "If necessary, we can take over this country in 24 hours. Lebanon is still reeling from a profound socio-economic crisis and could ill afford to rebuild after a war. Internally, the long-term consequences of war would depend heavily on Hezbollah's ability to secure funding for reconstruction. Jacob Russell for VOA News, Beirut, Lebanon.
More now on the situation up north. Lebanon's Hezbollah has been exchanging fire with Israel across the border for days, threatening to expand the conflict between Israel and the Palestinian group Hamas. Alice Rizzo explains.
Lebanon's militant group Hezbollah has been exchanging fire with Israel across the border for days, threatening to expand the conflict between Israel and Palestinian group Hamas. But what is Hezbollah? Iran's Revolutionary Guards founded Hezbollah in 1982, in the middle of Lebanon's civil war. It was part of Iran's effort to export its Islamic revolution around the region and fight Israeli forces after their invasion of Lebanon in 1982. Hezbollah shares Tehran's Shiite Islamist ideology and went on to recruit Lebanese Shiite Muslims. The group has risen from a shadowy faction to a heavily armed force with major sway over the Lebanese state. It has ministers in government and lawmakers in parliament. Western countries, including the United States, designate Hezbollah as a terrorist organization. The U.S. holds the group responsible for a suicide bombing that destroyed U.S. Marine headquarters in Beirut in 1983, killing 241 servicemen. And Lebanese security officials and Western intelligence have said groups linked to Hezbollah carried out suicide attacks on Western embassies and kidnapped Westerners in the 1980s. Hezbollah leaders said those attacks were carried out by small groups not linked to Hezbollah. In 2021, Hezbollah leader Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah said the group had 100,000 fighters. Iran gives Hezbollah weapons and money. The U.S. estimates Iran has allocated it hundreds of millions of dollars annually in recent years. Hezbollah boasts weapons including precision rockets and drones. It demonstrated its military advances in 2006 during a five-week war with Israel. It fired thousands of rockets into Israel during the conflict. 1,200 people were killed in Lebanon, mostly civilians, and more than 150 Israeli were killed, most of them soldiers. Many Lebanese Shiites support Hezbollah, saying the group defends Lebanon from Israel. However, Lebanese parties opposed to Hezbollah say the group unilaterally drags Lebanon into armed conflict. Hezbollah has deep ties to Hamas, another Palestinian faction backed by Iran. On October 7th, the day Hamas militants carried out an unprecedented assault into Israel, Hezbollah said it was in direct contact with the leadership of the Palestinian resistance. Since then, Hezbollah has exchanged cross-border fire with Israel numerous times.
That's Reuters' Alice Rizzo. And that's going to do it for us today. This has been International Edition on the Voice of America. On behalf of everyone at VOA, thanks for joining us. For pictures, stories, videos, and more, follow VOA News on your favorite social media platform and online at voanews.com. Until next time, I'm Steve Karish in Washington. Stay safe and have a great day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
At a recent event hosted by the United States, over 40 UN member states looked at a display of components and debris from lethal Iranian-made drones that were recovered from Ukraine and other locations. "These are the real thing," said U.S. Ambassador to the UN Linda Thomas-Greenfield. "These are the weapons of war that Iran has transferred to malign actors in violation of Resolution 2231 that are being used to decimate civilians and critical infrastructures." As an example, the ambassador pointed to the launch on October 6th of a murderous drone attack against Odessa that killed a civilian and damaged critical agricultural and port infrastructure. There were 33 air weapons fired by the Russians. 25 of them were Iranian-made Shahed drones. "The devastation of Iranian drones cannot be overstated," she said. "This devastation has ripple effects that disproportionately impact the global south, because Iran's proliferation of these drones affects the world's markets and food supply." Ambassador Thomas Greenfield pointed out that the Iranian regime's proliferation of drones is not limited to Ukraine. "Iran has sent attack drones to non-state actors in the Middle East for years, causing deep destabilization in the region. Now the chaos they cause has spread beyond the Middle East." Iranian officials have made no secret of their ambition to expand the sale of these attack drones, she said. "Now they are in Russian hands, being used against civilians in Europe. Soon, they could spread further. Ambassador Thomas Greenfield urged the UN member states to work together to hold Iran accountable for the murderous effects of its proliferation. "We need your voices," she declared. "Iran's transfer of these drones is a grave threat to international peace and security, and it's going to take all of us working together to ensure the international community does the right thing and continues to hold Iran to account."
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.